to strive. You know, strive is a word in the English, but several Greek words were translated into English: strive, striving, strieth. We're kind of going to go through God's Word today and see what it is Father wants us to do in that relationship. You know, we're coming up to the Olympics, and Paul, having spoke Greek quite well, colloquial Greek that is, his basic language in studying was Hebrew, and of course he could speak Latin, Roman, or what many would call Hellenist. When he said, "I speak tongues more than ever," which means languages, he did. And he was quite a scholar. But Greece must have impressed him, because he uses the Olympics, which means to contend. It means to, a champion isn't just born that way. Well, some would argue with me, my boy was born a champion. He's always been a champion, but he worked hard at it, is my point, all right? You physically must prepare yourself for the race or the fight or whatever the case might be. And Paul takes advantage of that many times in the New Testament in the spiritual sense. You can't really serve God if you do not strive, that's to say train, exercise both mind and body in what it is the Father would have you do, meaning His Word. And if you do poorly in His Word, that is to say as far as knowledge released from His Word into your mind, then you really can't do that much for Him, because you don't know what His plan is. And His plan is simple. It's pure and it's truth. Inasmuch as He wishes you to strive, and some people kind of hold back from competition a little bit, I want you to open your Bibles to something quite contrary to striving, as a promise from Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 10. Would you please open your Bibles, Luke chapter 10. Christ had just sent the apostles out to do their first teaching on their own. And they're returning and they're amazed. They're truly amazed. All these demonic beings, the spirits that they came across, they had power over them. They could order them out in the Savior's name and they were gone. Or any negative thought or this sort of, they were just simply amazed. And how did they come by this? Luke chapter 10, let's pick it up with verse 17, where they have returned. And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." Now that's something you don't ever want to forget. Many people in the ministry feel they have these powers on their own. They don't. It's through His name. When you fail to use His name and the power of the name of Yeshua, the Messiah, or Jesus, or Christ, you've gotten zippo, okay? However strong a person you are, you count on it, that's what's going to happen. But when you take His name, then there's all sorts of power controlling spirits that come in from high because of what follows. Read it, verse 18. "Then He said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven." And he looks in a sense forward to that day when Antichrist will return to this earth. "Behold, I give unto you," said, didn't say I'm going to charge you, "I give unto you power," that's dunamis, dynamite, all right, "power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy." That, friend, that says it all. You don't have anything to be afraid of. You shouldn't dread contention. You shouldn't dread exercising your mind and body to combat Satan or anything in this world. Why? If you meet the conditions that God has set forth in His Word, you have these powers behind you in, not your name, in His name, in Christ's name. You don't have to worry. Come in. If you have the faith to believe that, if you don't, friend, I wouldn't count on it, okay? If you don't have the faith, I would be very careful of what negative spirits I ordered around. Or they might eat you up. They might move in with you, okay? So, is there one behind every bush? No. It is rare, but believe me, as a minister of 50 years, there are evil spirits in this world, and they're not nice. They're not nice at all. And we have people, well, different subject for a different time. Verse 20. Notwithstanding, in this rejoice not. Don't rejoice because you have power over all your enemies, over the enemy. Who is our main enemy? Even Satan. In Christ's name, you don't have to be afraid of him if you have the wisdom that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. That's what you want to rejoice about. The fact that your name is written in heaven, which means what? You're one of God's elect. And that's one of the primary conditions. It's in the requirement to being blessed by Him in His name. So, really, what I'm trying to say is you don't have to dread chance to strive, because you've got the victory coming out the gate. Now, we'll get into the scripture. I want you to turn with me now to the book of Colossians. Go with me to chapter 1, we're going to go to Colossians chapter 1. Let's pick it up with verse 19. Paul teaching here his letter to the Colossians. Verse 19, chapter 1, Colossians, and it reads, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell." That means that the full divine Godhead in that name would dwell, that power would be there. Verse 20, "And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto him, by him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven." Now, while he was on the cross, and when he was taken, when he was placed in the tomb, where did he go? It's well recorded in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 18 and 19. Don't turn there. Make a note if you choose. He went to those that had passed away all the way back to the time of Noah, meaning the beginning. And he gave them the same opportunity to accept truth that you have today. Otherwise, God would be a little unfair, would he not? If someone before Christ did not have the opportunity to have their sins forgiven simply by believing and having faith. You see, many people pass it off too easy and saying, all you've got to do is believe. That's not true. Because a lot of things go with belief. And I suppose we could say it was true, because if you believe, then you have faith in Greek pistos, and you're going to do the things of the Word, whereby you're a champion, whereby you understand the Word. You know who our enemies are. You understand current events as they happen in this world. And it all pieces together right into God's Word, written many, many years ago. Man can't arrange that. God can. Okay? This was in heaven. This is where his meaning no doubt crossed that gulf, as it is written in the fourth chapter of 1 Peter. Many of the captives were released, meaning they repented, just as you have in your lifetime. Verse 21, "And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled." You know, God doesn't get up every morning to zap somebody. I wonder who's been naughty out there. I can get the naughty board after today. And he doesn't do that, okay? He wants to help you, to assist you. You know, people get in enough trouble on their own without God having to throw stumbling blocks in their way. He gets blamed for a lot of stuff. And sometimes with his elect, they deserve it too. If and should that happen, should he do that, there are places where it is recorded that, for instance, in Saul's case, the old King Saul is who I'm talking about, he allowed an evil spirit to bring tumult upon him. All right, he didn't have to force it, because Saul was anxious for it, all right? He wanted to displease God. 22, in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now, we all fall short at times. Now, I don't know. There may be some of you that are perfect. I don't know. Okay, I'll leave that for you to judge, because I probably would disagree with you, because I've been around a while and I know how we stumble at times. We fall short. Eat too much buttermilk and cornbread, you know, just stuff ourselves with all kinds of sins, okay? And so anyway, he made that possible for you, that rather than sacrificing a bunch of animals for your sins, and who knows, maybe, you know, just simply to say, Father, I've had a change of heart and I want you to forgive me. I'm going to try to do better next time. Boy, he just gives you a clean page. That was the price he paid there for you. We have great advantages, and that should change you. It should, in other words, repentance has two meanings. It means to be sorry, but also to have a change of mind. Okay, so, and you don't con God. But with both those present, and it may be that, you know, if you're a realist, and I certainly am, many times, like if you have a habit that is almost habitual, you understand what I mean, then pray for him to give you the power to overcome it. Don't be making promises you can't keep. Okay. Ask his power and help to overcome it, and see what you get then. You know, you talk to your father using common sense, because peace of mind is simply exercising common sense. And your father created you, and he understands us very well, so you don't have to put on the dog. You don't have to pretend to be something you're not, because he knows anyway, okay? Just talk to him. He understands. Okay, he did that for you. 23, if ye continue, this word if is always interesting, isn't it? It means if you don't do this, it doesn't apply to you. So you got to watch the if. If ye continue in the faith grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, that's the good news, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. When Paul was struck down on the road to Damascus, recorded in the book of Acts chapter 9, along about 14 or 15, he was made a minister to Israel, to the ethnos, the nations, that is to say, and the kings and queens. He had a threefold ministry. 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you. In other words, hey, I get beat. Well, let's go one more line here. For you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church. He says, he was in prison. I don't mind suffering for you. If it gets the truth to you, and if it strengthens you, if it upholds you, if it paints a path for you that makes your life better, I can rejoice in it. It makes me happy to serve the Lord, even with sufferings that it might bring. A lot of people, I don't know why they get this attitude that, well, serving the Lord is like a big bed of roses. You just wake up in the morning and He moves every stone out of your path and has a blessing in everything you touch. What would you be good for if you couldn't do something for yourself? I don't think God needs somebody like that, that needs everything done for them. He likes can-do type people. He gives us the answer. He gives us the promise, if you don't stray from it, if you stay with it, with what? The Word. His instructions telling you how to stay out of trouble. That's another whole lecture, okay? You exercise your mind in that, and I guarantee you, His promises will bless you. You're going to do a lot of good for somebody. You're going to make a difference in people's lives because you're just walking by sets an example. Okay? Paul established many churches, and he taught and suffered a lot for the churches. Shipwreck, beatings, you name it. 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensations of God, the stewardship. He gave me that stewardship, which is given to me for you to fulfill the Word of God. You know, it was written a long time ago that this gospel, this news, had to cover the world so that everyone had an equal opportunity, basically. The final equation, or that is made totally equal by God, is the millennium age, where everybody is in a spiritual body, and everybody has an equal, there's no handicapped minds or anything of that nature, no slowness. And everyone has an opportunity to learn the truth until Satan is released that short season. But God wants you to be a teacher there. He wants to use you. He needs you now to save souls, some, before it comes to that place, before it comes to that point, to fulfill God's Word. Well, how much of a Word is that? Well, as Peter would say in 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 and 2, both the prophets and the apostles, that's the Old and the New Testament, 26, even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to His saints. His saints know and understand the chronological order of events that consummate the end of this dispensation, where they're not going to be sucked in. They're not going to be deceived. He has a people that, as we read back in Luke chapter 10, verse 18, I beheld Satan fall as an angel, you know, as a star. That's what the word Lucifer means, is bright star, okay? Shining star in the Hebrew tongue. I saw him fall down to earth. What are you going to do about it? Well, it's written. That's the mystery. You're going to stand against him. It's that simple. And all other truths fall in place in the line with that. 27. To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. He doesn't hold back, both for Israel and the utmost, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory, whomsoever will become a Christian. 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. This word perfect in the Greek really means, better translated, mature, okay? When you're a child, you think as a child, but as you come into the Word, you should mature a little bit. I wouldn't necessarily say mellow out, but have a balanced knowledge and wisdom of God's Word and learn patience and to be patient with your fellow man. And to know, first of all, as we'll teach here before too long, that you can't please everyone. You can't, regardless of what you say, you cannot please everyone. I want to do 29 here. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. Agonid zomihi, in the Greek, to wrestle, to contend, to be a champion, to be able to take the prize. Now we're using an analogy spiritually, and your little body may not weigh 50 pounds, your flesh body. But some of you that would have a 50-pound body, that, you know, you've got a 500-pound soul. And the demons say, whoa, he sits or she sits wherever she wants to. We're out of here. Okay? They run from it. I say that. Maybe that's kind of a silly analogy. But I say that so that you don't picture yourself maybe all muscled up and a handsome specimen like myself. And whoa. But, oh, that stopped me. Anyway, spiritually speaking, when you exercise your soul, it grows. Right? And I guarantee you it is true. Even the demonics run from you. Why? They know you have the promise. They know that God, through the Son, is giving you power even over their kingpin, Satan. Now they're going to run. They're going to run out of your life or whomever you might touch. Okay? And so really, to wrestle and contend, fleshly size has nothing to do with it. That's my point. It's your spiritual mind and soul and spirit that you use what God has promised you, has guaranteed you. They got to run, friend. Why? His promises are all solid. His promises are all good. Turn forward to the book just before Colossians here. To Philippians. Let's go to Philippians chapter 1. You're going to find that many of the words translated strive have a little different twist or meaning or extra meaning in the Greek. Philippians chapter 1, let's pick it up if we may with verse 23. Verse 23 reads, and this would still be Paul teaching, "For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better." He said, I'm getting old. I'm about ready to just kick the bucket and go on to the Lord. And it's a lot better than here. Now be careful when you say that teaching, because there are people that have mental problems that like to take shortcuts, okay? So handle that gently when you teach it or repeat it. We have a purpose here, and God expects you to fulfill your purpose, or it won't be better for you there. Okay? But when you go by God's Word, you're special to Him. And He expects you to do His work here, and then have the blessings there as well as here, there also. 24, "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." And thank God he did, because Paul, the writer of most of the New Testament, was certainly a scholar. He studied at the feet of Gamaliel. 25, and blessed of God, of course. "And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. In other words, we could say, what a display of love. He would rather be there and teach and help them than to take the easy road of what was better, to be with the Lord, to continue in his ministry, in other words. 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. See, I'm looking forward to it. I hope I can make it back there. 27, only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel. You know, behave as a good Christian. I mean, in your community, that's an example, it's a witness, how you live in your community. You don't set a good Christian example by ripping people off, especially little old ladies, okay? And I'm just set a good example of a gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, I'm going to know about it, that you stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving, there's that word again, striving together for the faith of the gospel. This word in the Greek is a little different than the last one. It is sun athleo. Did you hear me say athleo? To translate that from Greek to Latin, athletic. Okay, run the race, got it? It's real simple, all right? Only sun is a Greek word affixed to it that means do it as a team. Do it together. Like of one, as it's translated in the English here, of one mind. See that you as a team, as the group, the body of Christ, pretty well, I mean, different people have different thoughts on things, but the basic principles you must jointly share, or you belong somewhere else, okay? It's just that simple. You would be studying somewhere else. God has places whom he wishes with whom he wishes and so forth, all right? But this means to, as a group, you strive, you exercise, you run, you take the challenge, you get yourself in shape to work jointly, to work toward receiving the prize. And that prize, of course, is pleasing Almighty God. He does that for us. So this word striving is a little different in as much as it means jointly rather than singularly. Okay, verse 28. And in nothing terrified by your adversaries. Hey, why should you be terrified by your adversaries? Christ has given you power over them. Come on. Get with the program, all right? Which is to them an evident token of perdition. In other words, if they see it in your eye that you're afraid, but when they see you're not, do you know what the word perdition means? You know what son of perdition? It means destruction. It means to perish. It means not to make it, okay? But to you of salvation and that of God, that's what it means to you. And God expects you to jointly, not just, oh, I got through that Sunday or that Wednesday or whatever day and take the Bible and throw it back on the mantle and bear it threats. Grow skilled in God's Word. It's simple, okay? And it gives you wisdom whereby you are successful in whatever you attempt. Okay, you'll stump your toe every once in a while. That's fine. You can cut it. You're a can-do type person. God likes that kind of people. All right? Verse 29, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake. He kind of expects you that if somebody throws a rock in your path, and these things are kind of all interwoven, you know, much like the internet, only in spiritual life. God may want to put you in touch with someone. There may be a rock coming your road that causes you to detour for a moment, that you bump into a special soul that is ignorant of God's Word, that's going to see the example you set forth, and pow, that dynamite, dunamis in the Greek, the power of God is expressed there simply by you having been there. So what I'm saying is, many times things happen and you might think it was all just per chance. Sometimes it isn't, okay? That God uses you if you're a believer. If you don't stray from the Word. If you are serious, in other words, okay? 23. And this I do for the gospel's sake. If you're going to get to the truth, sometimes you got to do it. That I might be partaker thereof with you. That I might bring you this good news. So you'd have it too. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that you may obtain, or that you might win. In other words, you're going to have a lot of people running, but there's only one winner. Okay? So when you're exercising spiritually, now in case somebody gets real nervous, we're not in competition with each other. Okay? You remember a while ago, the soon makes it jointly. We're all running the race together. Just make sure you keep up enough that we win, okay? Because we are the winner, being the church of God, okay? So what he's saying is, if anybody can just be kind of, I guess we're all kind of common in some ways, okay? But when it comes to God's Word, study. I mean, get in there, dig it out. Don't make it something complicated that it would be a bunch of hypocrisy that you have to add to God's Word. Teach it like it is. Simple. That's true wisdom. 25. And every man that striveth, so there's that word, athlos, like an athlete would, for the mystery is temperate in all things. In other words, the mastery is temperate. That means through the training. You've got to get yourself ready. You can't just put on a Superman suit and go to the tent store and jump out. Okay? It won't fly. You've got to be ready. I don't know if anybody could ever be ready for that in this age or not, so be careful if you get you a Superman suit, man. Okay? And now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. Here in the Olympics that are running pretty soon, they're running for our country. But it's for a medal. It's for the gold, the silver, the brass. It doesn't have anything to do with heaven. Okay? But we, an incorruptible, you're running for a great crown, a great medal, a great victory, a great reward, a champion, a true champion. Listen, it's wonderful, and I respect competition here on earth. I love the Olympics. I watch every bit of it I can, okay? So don't think for one minute that I'm knocking our young people that get out and really discipline themselves in training. But you do the same in God's Word. So that if someone asks you a question, you've got an answer. Or you know where to go get it, God's Word. Be patient with people. Never be ashamed to say, I really don't know, but I know where I can find out. Okay? Then come and ask me. Okay. Boy, this is a bad day for the Irish. You know? No, if I didn't know, then I'd say, well, let's get out and let's dig it out. We can find it. It's in God's Word, because he says in Mark 13, I have foretold you all things. Okay? So, anyway, work at it. And go for the big crown up there, okay? Verse 26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air. he said, I don't use padded gloves and I don't go around shadowboxing. I get it on. He said, just get it on. Let's rumble, okay? 27. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Do you know what that's called? Discipline. Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be cast away. Or I would not be worthy of the prize myself. That's what Paul is saying. You know, discipline for your body is kind of a hard thing. I was looking down this morning at my Nordic track. That timer must be wrong. I've been on here a lot longer than that. Haven't I, clock? And the clock just kept ticking. Same old speed, same old time. Okay, it's real easy to say, I got to go do something else. Discipline yourself. Stay with it, you know. Okay? And especially in God's Word. Okay? I don't want to build up a bunch of religious fanatics. Okay? I'm not saying study 24 hours a day. But always give yourself a half hour, 15 minutes. Okay? Or study with the program an hour or whatever. And some people have a huger appetite. You know, when I first, we don't want to know about that, do we? Nah, well, I've already started. When I first came into the knowledge, I was probably, of course, I was born and raised Christian. You know, I mean, boy, over in Oklahoma, when it comes Sunday morning, hey, you were on your way. Whether it was a wagon or what, you was going to church. And you may be barefooted, but you're going to church, okay? But anyway, then at about 22, bam. And I mean, I only slept about 4 hours a night, and I had to work to feed my family. But I was studying all night long. Just on and on. I could not get enough. It wasn't that, hopefully I wasn't turned into a fanatic, but I was starving for truth, to know what the Word said. And that went on for quite some time, and about drove my old mentors nuts with questions. You talk about, I had them. And I got answers. So, show yourself approved. Don't lose your crown by not exercising your mind. A lot of people will say, well, I just get forgetful. Exercise that thing, okay? There was some lady said the other day, Pastor Murray isn't teaching now. I understand he has Alzheimer's. Woo, man. Anyway, thank God that when you use this thing, it's like the muscle in your arm. Look at that sucker. It'll stand right up there, okay? But use this mind. Discipline yourself, okay? Well, I'm having a good time, but I'm going to have to quit here in a minute. Let's go to Timothy. We're going to go into a doctrinal book to see what the good doctor has to say about this. And then we're going to quit. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Okay? 1 Timothy chapter 4. Okay. Chapter 4 reads, verse 1, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, I mean, don't mess around, it gets it out there, that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. I would never study under a devil. Well, the old boy you're studying with might have. You want to be careful, there's evil spirits in this world, and you got some fruitcakes out there that like to teach things other than put you out of the chronological order of events, and you're in trouble, friend. You're treading water, okay? Two, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That means to be cauterized. Their minds, do you know what it's like whenever you get, you're in a place where you don't have any antibiotics and you have to cauterize a wound? Do you know what you do? You heat your pistol up and cook that sucker. Okay? You sear it over. Well, what happens then when you touch that later? You can't feel anything. Okay, you got my point. That's what I want you to get. That's what this means. The word in the Greek is simply to cauterize your mind where there's no feeling there, and it'll get you so far off track you can't get back. Three, forbidden to marry and commanding to abstain from meats which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. Now, so many people today in certain churches would tell you, oh, Lord, written, I thought all meats clean. It didn't say that. Learn how to read. It said, commanded to abstain from meats, which, that means we got a condition here, when that word which God has created to be received. He didn't create all animals to be received. All animals are good for their purpose. Scavengers for scavengers, food for food. Leviticus 11 is a good start to knowing, because these bodies haven't changed if you want help. For every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received with thanksgiving. Now, a lot of people will tell you, forbidden to marry. You get a divorce and you never get married again. Where does it say that? What it says is, if somebody doesn't repent and have a clean sheet to start over, then they might commit adultery. But if they repent knowing they were wrong, they've got a clean page in the book of life. And I would hate to be one that would say God didn't have the power to forgive. You understand where I'm coming from? Don't let anybody forbid you to do anything that you know is all right in God's Word, and be happy. Okay? Okay, now, verse 5, for it is sanctified by the word of God and prayer. If thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and of good doctrine, whereunto thou hast obtained. Do it. I mean, practice it, and you will be blessed. But refuse, do what? But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. Exercise here, forget it. I was going to say it in Greek, okay? It means to work overtime at it, okay? Okay, I don't know if I'm going to take that deeper than that. I think we'll in a place or two, you're going to find where this means, the word light green means nude. Okay? I mean, if you're going to work out, I mean, and we're talking spiritual here now, okay? Sometimes you got to strip away this old hypocrisy. Sometimes you got to get rid of all that garbage that you pick up, and exercise yourself whereby you have a clean, fresh start from God's Word. I think I'm going to leave that right there. Bodily exercise, now let's go to verse 8. For bodily exercise profiteth little. But it's good, though. Don't ever worry. It's necessary. It's the best medicine you can have. You know? I really, truly believe if most people would exercise properly, you always obey your doctor, but a lot of your medicines you could throw away. I didn't say you should. Now, I never give medical advice, but I think exercise, good, clean exercise, is the healthiest thing in the world. And now, there are circumstances for everything, but Okay. 8, for bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is, and of that which is to come. I mean, you got it made, both here and there. I mean, don't go for the short haul, friend. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation. For therefore we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those that believe. There is a condition. Those that believe. These things command and teach. Can you do that? Can you exercise that in your mind? Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. I know that many people think that age has everything to do with knowledge, and it should. I'm not going to take away from that. But I can remember back when I was a very young pastor, and I feel like that I had knowledge abundantly, quite a bit. And if you're young and it's something new to some preacher, he's going to put you down. Okay? They're going to say, "Why, you young whippersnapper." That's the first thing they're envious of, is your youth. Oh, God, I wish I had it back. But don't apologize for your youth if you have the knowledge, okay? And I'm saying that to you young people. Be aggressive. With wisdom, of course. You know, you can respect your elders. And don't... You know, if you grow up from, you know, I'm not going to go into that. I will. My dad was kind of a, do you know what a Jake Lake preacher is? Okay, my dad was kind of a Jake Lake preacher. That means a preacher, really, to be totally honest, is a preacher that nobody will pay to preach. Okay. But that's kind of not true, but it'll work. Okay. He loved the Bible. And I came into the church and I could not wait to get home and square him away. Hoo-wee. It wasn't long till I shut my mouth. You know, people, even your own pappy will get riled if you tell him you don't know what he's talking about. You know, or it would seem to him that, and then don't, you know, back off. That's true wisdom when you're young. You should know when to say yes, sir, or especially yes, ma'am. You know, that'll pay great dividends, okay? But don't ever let your youth prevent you from exercising the gospel, okay? Okay, now. Verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading. That means do your public reading. Get out there and wrestle it around. Strive with it. To exhortation, to doctrine. But make sure the doctrine is from the Word of God. Never apologize for doctrine as long as it's this doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hand of the presbytery. That's to say the elders, when you're anointed. Meditate upon these things. That means really think deep on these things. Don't just brush them off. Think about it. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to all. Your progress, and it will, that your progress appears to everyone, that you're coming along, that you're solid. In your own mind, you have answered the problems for your satisfaction, and you're plowing, okay? You're plugging along, in other words. You're working at it. And people can see the stability in your life, and they're drawn to that. They can't help themselves if they are not stable. 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, that's to say the teaching. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. That's, You know, if you're truly interested in the Word, it isn't only for yourself. I must admit, that's the only reason I studied in the beginning, was for myself. I wanted to know. I was tired of going up to preachers and asking questions, and then saying, "Son, it just isn't written. We don't know. And we're not supposed to know. You just got to have faith." Lord, I had a tub of that. I did. And I wanted answers. And I knew they were here. And that will drive you into studying. Father didn't leave you an orphan. The answers are in the Word. 2 Timothy, in closing. Chapter 2. And I want to pick it up with verse 5. We're going to go through this rather quickly. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. "And if a man also strive," there's athlos, be an athlete, okay, "for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully?" Now that's an important point, beloved. You've got to do it lawfully. There's no shortcuts in God's Word. My old Scottish granddad might say, "Now, son, never chate." Okay. Just don't chate. But rather than be chated, chate just a little bit yourself. Well, you know, make them toe the mark. My granddad was a trader. Trader, that means that he traded horses and mules and wagons and plows. And I was his horse trader. Okay, he raised me, you know. And do you know, he lived to be 90-something, and he never drew $1 Social Security, retirement money of any kind. I mean, he cut it. He did it on his own. Of course, he was too old. They didn't have Social Security then, you know. But he didn't need it, is my point. That's great, isn't it? He was a well-disciplined man. Strive for it. Go for it. But do it lawfully, okay? He always taught me that your name is the most valuable thing you have. You know, don't tarnish it. Keep it clean. 6. "The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits." They're yours, and God's going to see to it. You get out there and work, you're going to be okay. You're going to have it. "Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." In other words, if you'll reflect on God's Word and think deeply upon it, to meditate, as you know, which is what the word consider means. It comes from the old cow chewing her cud. Have you ever seen that? You know what they do? They send that cud back down in the tummy because they got a spare or two, you know. And they put that grass down in there, and that cud goes down and gets another handful of grass. And it comes back up. And she chews it because she's got time just laying there doing nothing else. Okay. So she can chew a whole load of hay, okay, from the spare tummy with the cud. She's chewing on it. And that's what you do when you're sitting around and you're thinking. Meditate. Consider. Think on it. Okay. Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. And his gospel is God's gospel. "Wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even into bonds." Here I sit in jail. But the word of God is not bound. Don't ever forget that. The word of God, no one can bind it. It's free. It's vivacious. It lives. "Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him." You have a guarantee of eternal life, all right? "And to be absent with this body is present with the Lord. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. If we believe not..." You see, there's a lot of ifs here, and I wanted to cover just one or two of these, and then we're going to stop. If you don't do the ifs, I'm sorry, friend. Sorry. "If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself." He's still going to be there, and it's going to be right, and you're out of luck. of these things, put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive, there's our word, not about words to no profit, but to the subverting of the hearers. You know, you can tell when you're wasting your time. You're going to have people that are not going to hear what you have to say. Don't, you know, bow out. You can tell. And don't waste, that's casting pearls before swine, okay? And I'm not running down people or anything. It's just, don't waste time. If you're a servant of God, your time is valuable, okay? Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And we are in that age where you're going to hear a lot more of it. Stay close to God's word. Contemplate. Think. Exercise your mind. You know, and don't believe everything you hear from people. I'm speaking current events, news. Analyze it. And think for yourself. When you do that, using God's word, and you're doing it lawfully, you're going to win. We have the victory. And we have the whole eternity with each other. That's going to be great. Aren't you glad God chooses them and you don't? Because you're going to have to put up with them for a long time. Okay. And that's the way it is. And I thank God for that. Well, there you have it. Strive. That kind of means work, exercise, keep at it. Okay? Don't discipline yourself. Be somebody. Okay? Be a child of God. You are not responsible to make sure that everybody says the exact right thing at the right moment, every day, all the time. Be patient. Work gently. You know, just because somebody stacks his hay a little different than yours, hey, don't knock it. You may be wrong, okay, in stacking hay. And by that I mean, don't be a know-it-all. Let people learn for themselves, but if you're going to be a teacher, you must at least teach them to give them the knowledge and information that they have to build upon. And what they build upon is Christ, the solid foundation. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Father, for your word. Thank you for our ability to strive, Father. Bless us in that. We thank you for giving us the power over our enemies, Father. In Jesus' precious name, amen.